Welcome, my name is Drew Edwards and you're listening to Talking Inclusion. This week we're talking about advocacy with Gail and Kate. If I could start by asking you to introduce yourselves, please.
Hello, Drew. I'm Gail Petty. I lead the advocacy programme at NDTI, including managing the quality performance mark.
Hi, so my name's Kate Mercer and I work in training, mostly of the independent advocates.
So you have some interesting things coming up in the world of advocacy. Firstly, can you tell me about the new advocacy training hub?
So you'll remember that we published a paper about advocacy and the role of advocacy supporting people who are going through health funded processes. So continuing healthcare, personal health budgets, section 117 discharge planning, all of those kinds of things. And that came out last September, I think. And following on from that, we've developed a training resource to support advocates in that arena.
It came from, I think, a general recognition that advocates lack a little bit of confidence in working in health funded processes. So we're really good at getting involved in Advocacy Capacity Act decisions and Care Act, adult social care. But health seemed to be a bit of a grey area. So one of the things that we were finding with advocates, and especially with training, is big gaps in knowledge of what the processes are. So we kind of know what continuing healthcare is, but we might not know what a really good continuing healthcare assessment might look like. And we were seeing pockets of funded specialist support going in, but the general advocacy community weren't that, you know, confident. So the training hub is there to really help with that confidence and to upskill people so that they've got somewhere to go to find out knowledge. And what was amazing about the hub is that we got so many brilliant speakers together who are doing this in practice. So that's the strength of the hub, is that if people are interested in listening to people who are doing it, then check out the webinars, because this isn't textbook information. This is real world policy and advocates reflecting on what they do.
So people will remember coming along to some of the webinar sessions, which we ran live over the summer, last summer. And we had loads of interaction and lots of people there. But I think one of the issues was that quite a lot of people thought it might not be relevant for them. So I'm a Care Act advocate. Why do I need to know about advocacy and health funded processes? Or I'm an IMHA, why do I need to know about personal health budgets? And actually what we learned was that it doesn't matter what kind of advocacy you're delivering or who to, actually there's stuff within this training program that is really, really relevant. And so if you're a multi-skilled advocate working across lots of different disciplines and in different settings and with different people, and actually, you know, do all of it, because you're going to really learn something. I think for me, the section on section 117 aftercare was just really, really incredible. And there were some real light bulb moments about how important it is for IMHA's independent mental health advocacy and Care Act advocates and people who are delivering non-statutory community advocacy to really understand that stuff.
And for those people that don't necessarily work in advocacy that might be listening to this, what does it mean for people in our communities? What will people start to see that will benefit the communities that they live in?
So I think one of the goals was for us to give a really strong message to advocates in the advocacy community to get back to relational advocacy. So to get back to the heart of what advocacy is, which is, you know, supporting that person on whatever issue or advocacy need that they might have. And one of the challenges that faces the advocacy community is how advocacy can be very issue-based and about fixing individual problems. So Care Act advocates are focused on Care Act advocacy issues, IMHAs are focused on mental health advocacy issues, and so on. But we know that people don't work like that. So we really want to get back to seeing advocacy as kind of improving citizenship and going where that person needs to go. So if you're a Care Act advocate and somebody's got a health need, by accessing this training, we hope that you'll be able to respond confidently to that health need, and kind of there'll be a light bulb moment that goes on to, okay, continuing healthcare. I need to touch the person about this, rather than just seeing it through a lens of adult social care. So it should be helping with that. And we know that there's this massive drive for personalisation, isn't there, in NHS. The targets are huge for personal health budgets to be used. And advocates can really help make that real. So for people outside of advocacy who would find this training interesting as well, that might be helpful to think around, well, advocacy can help personalisation because it's all about increasing control and that autonomy of the person, keeping them central to it.
Hopefully advocates will come away with increased skills and knowledge about personalization, about personal health budgets, about the ways that people can be supported to live the life they want to live in the way they want to live it. So absolutely increased choice and control, and advocates who are upskilled in enabling people to understand their rights and entitlements and navigate, which, you know, the systems are really complex. Continuing healthcare is complex. Section 117 is complex. Personal health budgets are complex. They don't have to be, but navigating those systems can be really difficult. And we heard from some fantastic experts by experience who've done it themselves and have carried on kind of providing some peer support to other colleagues, so family members and individuals who use personal health budgets. And so some of those webinars are really powerful and bring some really useful insights.
So how can people find out more information about how to get involved?
The hub is hosted on the Black Belt Advocacy website. So on the Black Belt Advocacy website, you go to the tab at the top which says Learn, and then click on Hub, Health Advocacy Training. And in that page there, you'll then find the 5 modules that have been developed specifically to kind of lead advocates through a journey of learning and knowledge development. So we've held the live webinar sessions over the summer last year. The training is now a static resource. It's free to access for anybody, so you don't have to be an advocate to access it. It's designed with advocates in mind. We also link people out to resources that already exist. So there's a fantastic peer leadership training course around personalised care. So that's the first kind of module that we send advocates off to do, is the first few elements of that peer leadership training, because they're really hearing from people with lived experience about personalised care and the impact it's had for them in their lives. We've also signposted people out to NHS England's continuing healthcare training. It already exists. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel and create training that somebody else has already created and which is really good. And then there are a range of webinars, resources, shorter bite-sized videos around continuing healthcare, section 117 aftercare. There's a section on health inequalities and addressing health inequalities. There's a webinar kind of which thinks about kind of planning and how to have really good conversations with people. And then there's the last section is around advocacy and impact.
So that's brilliant. And it really feels like there's a lot of resources coming out and things are really moving on and picking up from last year, when I think the focus before that had been on how are people coping and staying resilient during the pandemic and how advocacy services had had to adapt to that. And it feels now we're moving on to the things that we really want to focus on with advocacy. And part of that, last year, we had an amazing Advocacy Awareness Week and conference. Can you tell me a bit about what's coming up this year? Because I know we can give an exclusive on the dates for both of those things this year.
We can. Dun, 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 dun. So we're going to be looking at November. So we're avoiding half term after feedback from our colleagues. And it's going to be the first full week in November, which is the 7th to the 11th. So get it in your diaries, 7th of November to the 11th of November.
And that's for the advocacy conference. And will that be an in-person event this year, or is it still undecided?
It's still undecided. I think that the experience of the last 2 years has been how accessible online webinars have been. So, you know, we've gone from an in-person event where, you know, we were getting amazing participant numbers. I think the last in-person event was 300. But when we moved it online, you know, we were, I think last year we had 700 people across the week come to various sessions, which is just phenomenal. And it's so cheap. I think that's the thing, isn't it? Instead of sending one person from the team to go to an expensive event with a nice fancy lunch, you can suddenly send your whole team of 30 to dip in and out of different sessions. So I don't want to lose that. I'm going to be honest. I really want to build on that reach and make it accessible for as many people as we can. That said, there's something really lovely about getting together. So I think we will do something in person. What that looks like, I'm not sure, yes, but yeah. So I think expect a hybrid week for conference. Maybe 3 days again of online, really accessible, easy to get involved with, and then maybe one day something to be announced.
So they can follow the details for that on your website.
Absolutely. So if you go to blackbeltadvocacy.com, there's a page dedicated to conference, and you can see we've got a YouTube channel with the videos and recorded from most of the sessions from the last 10 years. So you can access them there.
And Kate, there's a speaker application form, isn't there, on that page as well. So if you click into 2022 conference and you want to do a presentation or a workshop or be a speaker at the conference, then that's your place, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's it. Thanks, Gail. Yeah, it's always a challenge to keep speakers fresh and new. And I tend to have my go-to people, but it's lazy really to just keep asking the same amazing people to speak each year. So yeah, so we've got an open call. So if you're doing something interesting that you'd like to share, and that could be from, you know, your lived experience of delivering advocacy or using advocacy, it could be about your views on what good advocacy looks like, right through to kind of specialist technical know-how. We'd love to hear from people. And as Gail says, the form is on the website.
And that leads me on to Advocacy Awareness Week, which we always try and run at the same time, because why wouldn't we, when we can get everybody talking about the same thing and building that momentum in the same week? What can you tell me about Advocacy Awareness Week this year, Gail? Are we at the very early stages of...
As ever, we will work with our colleagues within the advocacy community to think about what we want our campaign theme to be, what kind of events and activities and content we want to produce for Advocacy Awareness Week. But you're right, last year was so much fun and there was so much energy and enthusiasm and just some great content, some great stories, some amazing stories about how advocacy has changed people's lives and people's experiences of working with an advocate and drawing on advocacy services. Yeah, it was just a great year. And so it would be fantastic. Do you think we can top it, Drew? Do you think we can top last year?
Always, obviously. But if you want to join the steering group, we'll put an expression of interest form on the side of the podcast. So anybody that's interested in joining, they can come to that.
Also, just drop us a note to advocacy@ndti.org.uk. And let us know that you're interested in being on our kind of steering group for shaping Advocacy Awareness Week. We did that last year with a couple of sessions online, kind of refined things by email. So it wasn't a massive commitment in terms of time for people. But if you've got thoughts and ideas that you want to contribute to shaping the campaign theme, then definitely come along.
Brilliant. And then following that, the resources for the week itself will become available online. So keep an eye out on the website. And that leads me to the Advocacy Awards, which are brilliant. What can you tell me about that, Kate? Are applications open or nominations open?
They are really exciting. And we missed it last year because of the COVID. It didn't feel it was the right time to get everybody together during that conference week. Get your pens out, get your diaries out. May the 12th, 2022 is the date to remember. And we're going to have the celebration event in Birmingham, so somewhere central. We will find a fabulous venue where you can book tickets to come and celebrate. But yeah, the point of the Advocacy Awards, of course, is to just take a moment to acknowledge the amazing work that advocates can do. And there's lots of people that go the extra mile and consistently go the extra mile. And we just want to honour that effort and the difference that advocacy can make for people. So nominations are open. There's five categories ranging from best advocate, which I think is the coveted, the most prestigious one, and best advocacy service that always seems to attract lots and lots of entries. But we also want to recognise brilliance in co-production and equalities. So we're looking for really interesting and effective examples of advocacy. And the fifth category, which I always think is super important, is we want to recognise people from outside of advocacy who support and encourage and contribute to the successes. So you might have an amazing commissioner, or you might have an incredible family member who, you know, does incredible peer advocacy, or you might have a social worker or a doctor who gets advocacy and is always referring, is like your super referrer, and you want to acknowledge and thank them. So we encourage nominations. You don't have to be, have a degree in writing English essays. We want honest, thoughtful nominations. They're the ones that tend to do well. Nominations from the heart, and our panel of independent judges will look at them. Get checking on the website again. It's blackbeltadvocacy.com, and there's a header there for awards, and you'll find lots of information. There's guidance to nominate to help you in your forms. You can submit a referee if that will help your nomination. But yeah, get thinking. Don't be quiet. There's something strange about quiet advocates, isn't there? But we want advocates to celebrate, stand up, and really help to shine that light where it needs to be shone.
And is there a deadline for that, Kate, for nominations?
The closing date for nominations will be the 4th of April at 12 o'clock. So midday, the 4th of April. And you can email them into ourselves, but all the information is on the website.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. So that's brilliantly exciting. So much going on. And thank you for coming and sharing all that with us. Links to everything that we've talked about will be on the NDTI website, www.ndti.org.uk. We hope you can join us in 2 weeks' time for our next episode. Thank you, everyone.